In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We commemorate today in the Orthodox Church throughout the world, we commemorate the Fourth Ecumenical Council. Some of you perhaps are not super familiar with the Fourth Ecumenical Council, but in fact, the Fourth Ecumenical Council established dogma that is quite familiar to most Christians throughout the world. Not all, but most of them. Most certainly Orthodox, as well as Roman Catholics and most Protestants. They established this doctrine, this teaching that Jesus Christ is both fully God and fully man. He's fully divine and fully human without any sort of mixture or confusion. And the competing theology at the time, and still even to this day, was sort of this idea that Jesus had some sort of a hybrid nature, or people just denied his divinity. But of those who said he was divine, it was as though he had some sort of nature that was different from ours. And you see, that's a cop-out for us, right? We like to say Jesus was different from us. If he has this hybrid nature, well, I have an excuse not to do and not to live the way that Jesus lived. But the church teaches us that, in fact, Jesus shared in the same nature as we have, and he had the same struggles, and he had to choose to overcome sin, just as we have to choose to overcome sin. So this is why this Fourth Ecumenical Council is so important to us Orthodox Christians, and why we celebrate it today. And yet at the same time, the Fourth Ecumenical Council has been one of the most divisive councils in the history of the church. It might be one of the most divisive events in the entire history of the church. Most people would probably point to 1054 and the excommunication of the Pope of Rome and the Ecumenical Patriarch as being the most divisive event that's happened in history, and perhaps they're correct. But if that is the most divisive, then perhaps the Fourth Ecumenical Council comes in second place. Because even to this day, we have a significant number of Christians who identify as non-Chalcedonian. Chalcedon is where the council was held. And so these Christians still hold to a teaching that is somewhat different than the Fourth Ecumenical Council, and in more recent times, as some of the leaders of both churches meet, we find that we are trying, many times, we're trying to say the same thing using different words. And so perhaps this division that has been between our churches that exists even to this day is not as great as what we might have thought it was. And so that's why there's constant communication. And in many ways, there's a lot of collaboration between non-Chalcedonian churches, such as the Syriac Orthodox Church or the Indian Orthodox Church or the Coptic Orthodox Church. And many of us intercommune with one another, even though our hierarchs are not technically in communion. We are accepted at each other's churches as lay people. But in the midst of this, and in the midst of what was a divisive council, and even to this day, as I said, there are still some divisions, the church on this Sunday, when we celebrate the Fourth Council, reminds us of what is most important. The readings for this Sunday every year are the same. We heard from St. Paul's letter to Titus, as well as the Gospel of Matthew. And what does Paul tell Titus that we hear in the midst of understanding that this important council was divisive? We hear Paul say, "Be careful, teach your people to be careful to apply themselves to good deeds. These are excellent, these deeds, good deeds, are excellent and profitable to men." But on the other hand, he tells them, avoid stupid controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels over the law, unlike the good deeds that are excellent and profitable. These dissensions and quarrels, he says, are unprofitable and futile. As for a man who is factious, or some say a man who is heretical, after admonishing him once or twice, have nothing more to do with him. And then he goes on to tell you, again, to apply yourselves to good works, to take care of those who are in urgent need, and not be unfruitful, How are you unfruitful? He just told you. By arguing with each other about doctrines and the law and rules, etc. And then we hear right after that from St. Matthew's Gospel, our Lord teaching his disciples, you are the light of the world. How? Because you will shine your light by your good deeds, and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. So we are reminded today, brothers and sisters, the church is teaching us today that we are the light of the world, not by proclaiming the Fourth Ecumenical Council and arguing with each other about the nature of Christ. We are the light of the world if we apply ourselves to the teaching of the gospel and how our Lord taught us to live our lives. And ultimately, the church is teaching us that we are not converting people by these arguments, by these dissensions, but we convert people, we bring them to the gospel, we bring them to Jesus Christ by the way that we live our lives. And of course, many people will say, but Father, you know, I've had these arguments with people and now they come to our church. Right? And I was online and people were arguing and that's why I'm here. But again, we have to listen to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who told the Pharisees, you travel all over to gain one convert and you make him twice as much a son of hell as they were before. How do you make them twice as much a son of hell as they were before? Because they argue and they bicker over things that are unprofitable and unfruitful. And if Jesus, if his disciples would have known, he would have said they would be spending their time online arguing with people that they don't even know who they are about these different things. But our Lord teaches us the way that you really convert people to his kingdom is not through these arguments, but through the way that you live your life. And you see, many people ask the question, how is it that Jesus, he says, you know, if you're going to pray, go into your closet, close the door and pray there. God will hear you. You don't need to do it in front of a bunch of other people. If you're fasting, don't make it look like you're fasting, okay? Don't look like you're weak. Don't go out and trumpet your good deeds, he tells us. Then how can he say to his disciples that you're the light of the world and that people would see your good deeds and would come to the gospel teaching? Well, you see, the reason is because we think that our good deeds are our prayers. We think our good deeds are our fasting. We think our good deeds are going online and arguing with people, or arguing with people that we see in the streets about these things to no end. But that's not what our good deeds are. These are spiritual practices that are supposed to help us to do good deeds. What are the good deeds that our Lord is talking about? He's talking about when you forgive someone who has sinned against you, that hasn't been nice, that hasn't come back crawling on their hands and knees, asking for your forgiveness. That's the good deeds that our Lord is talking about. Do you love your enemies? Do you love people who persecute you? Are you kind to those who are not kind to you? Do you help out people, as our Lord said, that cannot help you back? Do you lend to them expecting nothing in return? These are the good deeds that our Lord is talking about today in Matthew 5 with his disciples. And unlike the prayers and the fasting and the arguing, these deeds cannot be faked for very long. A person cannot fake forgive someone who has sinned against them for very long and people will notice you haven't really forgiven them yet. People can't be kind to their enemies forever just to make a good show of it. Soon people will find out you're a fraud. And you can't be lending your money to others expecting nothing in return forever if you don't mean it. Again, people will figure out that you're just playing a game. So what our Lord teaches us today and what the church teaches us by placing these scripture readings as we commemorate in our hymns the Fourth Ecumenical Council is a reminder to us that we convert people to the gospel, that we show people God's love, not by our arguments over theology, that we convert people to God not by showing off our prayer and our fasting. We convert people to the true message of the gospel and to God's reconciliation by living out the words as Jesus taught us to live, both in His words and in His deeds. As He, remember, is our example hanging there on the cross. As we're told, He could have called legions of angels, but He didn't. What did He do? He hung there for our salvation, and He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." May we also have this same spirit within us so that we may shine to the world the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship together with His Father and Holy Spirit to the ages of ages. Amen. Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.
Lord, have mercy.
Thus the faithful pray for the catechumens that the Lord will have mercy on them.
Lord, have mercy.
And He will teach them the word of truth.
Lord,